You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 2.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy! Hi everybody, this is your host, Kimberly Maska, and today's guest is Georgina Eggleston. After suffering a great loss, Georgina found her calling as a grief guide, where she assists individuals who have lost loved ones or suffered from other forms of loss, like the loss of a pet, home, or job. She has managed to turn a tragedy into a life calling and a thriving business. Welcome, Georgina.
It's so nice to be here, Kimberly.
Fantastic. So I have been reading about you, and I am fascinated about your story. I'd love for you to share with our listeners how you started down this personal journey as a grief practitioner.
Well, in 1994, my brother Mark died very unexpectedly, and later that month, my father-in-law. And my brother had been in poor health, so it wasn't a total shock. But when someone dies suddenly, the flow of life is interrupted. So that happened. Then my mother developed a brain tumor and died in July of 1997, and my father dropped dead of a heart attack in December of that same year. Well, that's enough to qualify anyone as a complicated griever.
Absolutely.
However, what the grief that brought me to my knees was my son Reed's death. Reed was 15 and a half years old, and he was one of these athletic, artistic, charismatic, brilliant, gifted souls. And he was unfortunately kicked off the basketball team and suspended from school for 3 days because he failed a breathalyzer test. Mm. And we were there with him and spent time with him, but he was so distraught. And Reed's pattern was to be alone and figure something out. So after telling him all the wonderful things a mother says when a child is in great pain, I did not take his hand and say, come with me. I said instead, I will go comfort your girlfriend. And that's where I went. And his dad talked to the basketball coach, and Reed went out of the room, ran the 1 mile home, and ended up taking his life by shooting himself.
Wow, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So it was very, very, very tragic. And it was at that night, though, Kimberly, before Reed had even passed, that I realized I had stated who I would become, because there were 3 school officials standing over in a corner. And I just talked to the physician, who happened to be a dear friend. He said, Georgina, Reed is going to die. And I walked over to these men. One was the junior high principal who had suspended Reed. Another was the high school principal where the incident took place. And the third person was the director of student services. And I looked all 3 of those men in the eye and I said, Reed is going to die and we have got to get these kids safely through grief. And at that moment, I had no idea that many years later, I would be doing what I'm doing.
Wow, that's a beautiful story in such a tragic way. So how did you then, I mean, coming from that grief and moving forward, how did you manage to turn that into an actually a successful business?
Well, it was very interesting because, as fate would have it, in 1994, prior to my brother's death, I had made the statement in a women's circle, I wonder what my life would be like if I were a better listener. Because at that time, I was working as a speech language pathologist. And it dawned on me in my early morning journaling that, oh my goodness, I've never had a class on listening. So having put that out there, as things do when we make a request, so often it takes time for it to be answered, but it always is answered. And in the early January of 1998, while Reed was still alive, a friend of mine came back from Esalen and said, oh, I found my mentor, and this may be just the program to teach you to listen to, Georgina. It's mind-body therapy called Rubenfeld Synergy Method, and it teaches people to communicate with listening touch. And I said, well, that sounds interesting. Well, of course, after Reed passed away, I pursued this because I knew that it would greatly transform my life, allowing me to heal from this devastating loss. And so after having had so much transformation myself, I just knew that this was going to be what helped so many other people. So I simply, because I've been a speech pathologist in Nebraska with a private practice, when I moved to Portland, Oregon, just started visiting practitioners who might be likely referral sources, got an office and got busy and created a practice.
That's awesome. So you took action and moved forward.
Absolutely. I did. And it was interesting because at that time, I really wasn't working with breathing people. But over time, it's been evident that that's the niche of people that can benefit from me, and I can certainly benefit from their stories and their journey as well.
That's really neat. So I think that's kind of been interesting. How do you find clientele? I mean, we all know that they're grieving, but how is it that you, from a marketing standpoint, how do you go out and find those clients?
Well, I've been attending networking groups, and it's very interesting because when I stand and do the 1 minute speech saying who I am, Georgina Eggleston, my business, Beyond Your Grief, I support people to move from grief's grip to radiant joy. Many, many people in the audience get that. And they just get the sense of, oh, wow, this woman is really sincere. Another thing that I say to those people in those networking groups are, if you had a broken leg, would you drag it around for a year hoping it would heal? Because there are so many people that are grieving, but they have no idea that the process could be greatly enhanced with having somebody to support them in the journey. So the networking groups have been very helpful. Prior clients have been helpful. And so that's, and then I have really been very, very fortunate for my Synergy community to have been asked to do a presentation and put together a 3-hour workshop. And so I've been doing those workshops, and as a result of those workshops, people say, oh, you taught me listening touch. I can listen to where the grief is in my body, but I want to come and work with you some more to find out what your hands hear in my body. So that's where my clients come from.
That's great. For your live events, is there anything in particular other than people being drawn to you? Are you doing any specific marketing to them? Because I know this is a different, you know, people think marketing, I'm going to, you know, give them a card or what have you. But it's such a different process because we in the mind, body, spirit, you know, area, it's such a touchier thing.
Yes. What really has worked is the fact that I've been writing a blog. And I also have a newsletter, and I'm very, very fortunate. I've got an open rate of 64% to 44%, depending on the month and the time of the year, and that's high. I know it is, and grateful. And so that's been very, very helpful to have that.
Great. Are you using any social media as well, or just the blogging?
Just the blogging for now. Now I know I need to become have a Facebook. But I'm not there yet.
Perfect.
Facebook and Twitter, though, are on my radar. For the month of May, actually. They're probably going to be my Mother's Day presents to myself.
There you go. So how do you, so now, this is an interesting question. Do you have competition in that arena, or, and how would you define your, my question wants to be, how do you define yourself and make yourself different from your competitors? But what is it, are there other grief people that you're working for in that area? How does that work?
Well, there are many, many therapists who are grief therapists, and they're more the traditional talk therapist. And so I'm the kind of person that people come to in the workshop. It's a very safe place to come where there's a container, and my job is to hold that space so that they feel really safe and know that whatever comes up is going to come up. And then another thing that it sets me apart is the idea, like we were talking about earlier, of discovery. How could grief, since it's going to happen to each and every one of us, be a journey of transformation where we discover what are the gifts in this process that are for us. So my competition isn't doing that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So
it's the connection that's really getting your clients then.
It is. And I teach my clients to connect to themselves, because when one is going through grief, there is that sense of disconnect. In one way, people want to be disconnected from the world, because how can I live in the world when I'm in so much pain right now? And there's the automatic disconnect that happens in the brain circuitry during those first 30, 60, 90 days of raw grief. Mm-hmm. So what I teach people to do in the workshops and in private sessions and in phone sessions is how to connect to their body, which will then ground them, how to connect with their breath, which will then support them, so that they, in one breath in and one breath out, can go to a place of calmness and safety because they can feel the difference in their body. So there aren't a lot of traditional grief therapists that are doing that.
Oh, interesting. So from, you mentioned phone, and so you have different mediums in which you're connecting with them. What works the best for your clients? Is it your workshops? Is that the easiest way to get them in? How does that work for you? Or do you maybe work with them in a workshop and then they become a private client? How do you structure that?
Right now, most of my clients come through the gate of the workshop first, because there's safety in numbers.
Okay.
And they know that they can come here, and there are other people. Every single other person that's attending is going to be in some kind of grief. So their tears are going to be okay. And then from there, we do the private sessions. And many of my phone referrals come from my colleagues in the Synergy community who have a client that is suddenly thrust into grief. And they're saying, oh, I know somebody that can really work with you on this.
Gotcha.
So they refer to me.
Nice. So it's interesting, because what you do is really such a personal thing, and yet you're still running a business in marketing. So what do you think is the biggest challenge? Because I think so many people in the mind, body, spirit area struggle with that, because what we do is helping people, but yet it's still a business. And so what do you think are the specific challenges to addressing that?
Well, right now, for the client, one of the challenges is, who am I going to go to? There's a myriad of modalities out there. There are a myriad of processes. And when somebody's in grief, they're obviously confused.
Right.
So what I say and do is make sure that people know that I see them as healthy and whole already. I see them as the light that they are, and that there's nothing wrong with them. And yet, my biggest challenge is to assure people that coming for support through grief is perfectly okay, because so many people think they can just do it on their own. What? Grief? We all have it. So what? You know, it is what it is. and people get mired down in it, and then it's like, now what? So that's a big, big challenge for me, is to allow people to know, hey, if, like I said earlier, if you had a broken leg, would you drag it around for a year?
Right.
Or to go see a doc, have a cast put on it, so that you can be have a walking heel and be walking around in 6 weeks.
Right.
So that's really a challenge, to educate people that coming for grief work is a gift that they're giving themselves, and that they're not going to give their power to me. From the very beginning, I'm going to empower them, because I know that they're healthy and whole. And getting that message out there, Kimberly, is a challenge.
Yeah.
It really is. So that's why I'm writing a book.
Oh, perfect. And that's a good point, because it is an education. And so much with what we do in Mind, Body, Spirit is education-based.
Mm-hmm. So. It is. And there are many people out there that may not be people that think like I do, which is to empower the clients, but rather be the power, you know, giveaway, power kind of people. And so it's hard. It really is.
Yeah.
And I know that one of the ways that a colleague of mine in Arizona has built a thriving practice is to market to other practitioners. So she's got that constant referral source from chiropractors, naturopaths, and then other talk therapists who get into the grief thing and say, I don't want to do it, but I'll sure send you to Georgina. And I have several people that refer to me that way too. But that's where I'm focusing on building the business besides the social media.
Gotcha. Yeah, it is all who we know, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it really is. And how they know us. Okay. So they get to know us and can trust us.
Perfect. So, well, I guess you kind of answered the question. My next question was going to be as far as building your platform and who you are, but you talked about your book next. And
yes.
So is that's going to be your next focus in dealing with other practitioners?
Actually, the book is going to be the focus for, I've taken my big business card, You Make a Difference, in when I see practitioners. And when they receive that big business card, they know that I am a businesswoman and can read the story of how I ended up doing what I'm doing. So now, when you're asking how I'm going to build my platform, I believe is the question. My intention is with social media and those people who know and love me and will recommend this book to their family and friends. Because one of the things I know that happens is when somebody experiences loss, we all want to do something, and many times we're at a loss. And we're afraid we'll do the wrong thing. So this little book is only going to be 108 pages or so. It's going to be something that a grieving person could sit down and read in an afternoon. Mm-hmm. And there will be things in there that they can highlight and know, oh, if she did it, I can do it too. So my intention for this book is that everyone will buy at least 10 copies for their gift closet, so that when that loss occurs, they've got something that they can say, you know, I don't know what to say right now, but this woman does. So here's a gift to you from my heart.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Cause we were talking earlier and I lost my mom and to cancer a year and a half ago, and people don't know what to say or do. And you get all these flowers, which is absolutely what you don't want when you're in that situation. You really just want someone to reach out somehow, and no one knows how to do that. And I think that's beautiful. And I have to say, from a marketing standpoint, should be played upon greatly, where you're actually telling you're giving a call to action when people see this book, buy this and keep this for that situation. Cause I think that's such a thing we're ignorant about. We're ignorant about how to deal with grief with people. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what my recommendation is to somebody who's just going to see a person who's gotten divorced and they're crying their eyes out, who has lost their job, they're crying their eyes out, who's lost a pet, who's lost a family member and they've got that terrible grief headache. You remember that one,
yes.
I'm sure. So you show up with your shopping bag with 7-Up and lemons and make them a glass of 7-Up with lemon juice because that clears the headache. And then you hand them the book, which is your new grief sympathy card.
That's beautiful.
And they can sit down in a corner and begin to read the book, be away from people, sip the drink, read the book, and because you know what it's like to need the peace and quiet too.
Right.
You want to be with people, but you don't really want to.
So. Yeah, exactly. So support, but a little far off.
That's it. So, you know, the kind of person who will listen with no judgment and just hold the space.
That's,
and that's hard for people to do because we always think we have to say something.
Yeah.
When our presence and our love is the greatest gift.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I love that idea. So
yeah.
Do you have any last business advice? And as you've been building your practice and your business, something that you look back, maybe you wish you had changed, had been different, a little golden nugget of taking your business forward?
First of all, be patient and know that your passion is going to move you forward and everything is in divine time. A rose does not bloom before its time, and your business may not either. And that was the hardest thing for me because right now I wish this business were 3 times bigger, but it's not time. Something else is build those connections with others who will be in-person referral sources as well as social media. And, of course, we all know that that's really what to do these days. And then I would say for yourself, have a strong spiritual practice or a strong, at least, self-care practice. Because we all know what it's like to start something new. Have a business plan in place. But think in terms of how can I be kind and gentle to myself coming to the business, whatever time I have when I'm doing this startup, how can I come refreshed? How can I come centered? How can I come grounded? How can I come from a place of loving myself for what I know in this moment?
That's,
so that's my biggest takeaway.
That's great advice. I love it. So you have been fantastic and imparted so much great information. And I bet you there's plenty of people listening that would love to find out more about you. So how would they get a hold of you? What's the best way?
They have a choice. They could either go to georgina.eggleston@gmail.com. They could, and that's spelled GEORGENA.EGGLESTON. They could go to beyondyourgrief.com and leave me a message there and look at the website. Or I would love to have them pick up the phone, 503-309-3966. I'm an old-fashioned girl from Nebraska, and I love to talk. So very often, you will get a sense of me, and I will get a sense of you, and we'll say, oh, yeah, this is a fit, or maybe not, but I might know somebody, especially in my Synergy community, that might be a wonderful support for them.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. This has been wonderful.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kimberly. It's been such an honor to be here. I'm so grateful, and you are very welcome.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you will find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.